Wow, thank you for leading us in worship. Is your heart not ready for communion? All the songs we've sung and the choir has led us in. If your soul is dry and you are spiritually thirsty, you will only find a satisfying drink for your soul in Jesus. Remember? That's what we saw a month ago when we gathered for the Lord's Supper. We were here in the Gospel of John, as we are every Lord's Supper. John chapter 4. You can turn in your Bibles. If you do not have a Bible, please use a pew Bible. It's on page 1057. We want you to follow along and let God speak to you from his word. We really are here to consider what God might be saying to us. What would God say to us by the Holy Spirit through his servant John, who wrote this gospel, moved by the Holy Spirit, and spoke from God? Remember, we talked about the woman at the well. We talked about how Jesus exposed her life and where she was trying to get a drink for her soul. And then Jesus offered her living water. Do you remember at the beginning of John chapter 4? And then we went to Jeremiah chapter 2. And the prophet Jeremiah says, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, just like Jesus said to the woman, a fountain of living water, abundance of living water. The first evil is they forsake the fountains of living water and they hewed cisterns for themselves. They tried to provide for themselves. They dug their own cisterns. And it says in Jeremiah 2:13, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. There's no water in those cisterns. They can't hold water. If you are trying to get a drink for your soul from a cistern that you have dug and you are providing for yourself, you are in the desert. And what you think is water, you will put your cup in the water and you will lift it to your mouth expecting it to be refreshing water. And when you put it in your down your throat to drink it, it will not satisfy. Your parched thirst, it is only a mirage. It is drinking sand, and you will choke. And the hopelessness of death in the desert without water is a soul that is dead without God. We were created with a soul thirst for something that our world cannot satisfy. And when we try to fill it up with other things, we are drinking sand. For some, they try to quench the thirst of their soul with a drink for their body. And the hopelessness of alcohol and addictive drugs, a drink for your body will never satisfy the thirst of your soul. Physically numbing drugs for your body will never take away the real cause of pain in your soul. It might delay it. Jesus said to the woman at the well that he could give her something that would well up inside her, a fountain of living water, abundance, more than she could ever drink. Inside. Spiritual drink, a satisfying drink for her soul. Now, this morning, Jesus talks about spiritual food. He's talking, explaining to his disciples, and at the end of the sermon, we'll bring these two together. So let's pray and ask God to help us understand not only a spiritual drink, but spiritual hunger. Would you pray with me? Kind Father, I pray that you will open our eyes to see, that you will open our minds to understand and our hearts to believe, that we would accept this seed that is sown in our soil, in the soil of our soul, that will produce a harvest, that we will accept this truth, that you will give us life, living water in our souls for those that don't know, a drink that satisfies, and for those that do, that we will understand spiritual hunger and spiritual food that Jesus is revealing to us this morning. remind us of the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Fill us, Lord. We have not come just to hear a Toastmaster speech. We have not come to hear a cultural message and group therapy, therapeutic message from the pulpit. We have come to hear you speak. So increase our hunger. Surface the thirst of our soul. And then fill it. We've come to your word. Speak, Lord. For your servants are listening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin in verse 27, even though in the bulletin it says verse 31. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 27. Hear the word of the Lord. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you seek?" Or, "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So the Samaritans came to him. When the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Now, if you remember a month ago when we came to the first part of this chapter, Jesus came to the well. He was weary from his journey. We see that in verse 4 and 5 and 6 at the beginning of this chapter. And Jesus asks the woman for a drink. But the understanding of the text that really opened up to us was that both Jesus and the woman were thirsty. Jesus asks for a physical drink. He is thirsty, but he has no way to get the physical drink. The physical water in the well is inaccessible to him. Remember in verse 11, the woman says, "You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." Jesus is physically thirsty, weary from his journey. But it was a picture of the woman's thirst as well, because not only is Jesus thirsty, the woman is thirsty, but she has access to physical water. She does not have access to spiritual water. That's why in verse 10, Jesus says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that would give you, you would ask, and I would give you living water." This is the kind of water, living water, that only Jesus can give. And she must know who he is first to receive it and ask. This living water is inaccessible to her except through Jesus. Now, our passage today is very similar. And for the very first time, I saw in this text that there is a comparison that both Jesus and his disciples are hungry. Do you see it? In verse 8, the disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then in verse 27, the disciples came back and Jesus is talking with the woman. They've gone and got food and they've returned. But the comparison is between Jesus and his disciples. The disciples are physically hungry. Look in verse 31. The disciples were urging him, saying, "Teacher, Rabbi, eat." But he says, "I have food to eat." He's not talking about physical food. They brought physical food and they were eating. They were inviting Jesus. They were physically hungry. But Jesus has tasted of spiritual food. And he is going to explain again. He says in verse 32, "I have food to eat that you know not of." And then he says in verse 34, "My food is." And he explains what his food is. It's not physical. But it's in this comparison between both Jesus' hunger and the disciples' hunger that we understand the passage. He gives us the purpose. Jesus is teaching his disciples that this is what disciples should hunger for. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you are his disciple, you should hunger for something more than just physical bread. That's what Jesus is teaching. That's what he taught the woman at the well. There is something that is more than these five relationships and this new relationship. There is a better way to get a drink for your soul. And he's saying to the disciples, "You already believe. And there is a spiritual food that I have, and I want you to share this spiritual hunger." And then he says in verse 34, "It is to do the will of the Father." The souls of a true disciple of Jesus will never be satisfied with just busyness and activity. We'll never be satisfied with just coming to a service and watching what happens on a platform, the three-ring circus, and appearing at something where you're a spectator and you observe what is going on. The true disciple of Jesus is hungry for something more. To do the will of the Father. Now, isn't this exactly what we saw last Sunday when we looked at the verses in Titus? Who is our master? And we are his servants. This is what Jesus is teaching his disciples. So let's go back to the beginning of our passage in verse 27. The disciples come back to Jesus. They've brought food. And what's the very first thing you notice in verse 27? They are surprised that Jesus is talking to a woman. Now, besides all of the historical ideas behind this, a Jewish man alone with a Samaritan woman, the distrust and the marginalization of the Samaritans who were displaced Assyrians brought in to control the people in Israel. Besides all those historical things, there is something very simple here. And the disciples have a suspicion that Jesus, they don't want to ask, "What is it that you are asking for from the woman?" Look what it says. They marveled that he was talking from the woman. But no one said, "What do you seek?" What is Jesus looking for? They'd been with Jesus long enough to know that likely he had integrity. No one asked him what he was looking for from the woman. And no one asked him, "Why are you speaking with her?" Now we know why Jesus is speaking to her. We've already read it. This is very important to understanding this passage. Why is Jesus speaking to the woman? We know it because we've already looked at this passage a month ago when we were here for Communion Sunday. In verse 10, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Jesus is there not to get something from the woman. He is there to give something to the woman. Living water. Verse 14, "Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst again." Do you know that soul-satisfying kind of drink? "The water that I will give him will become in him," verse 14, "a spring of water welling up to eternal life." We know the answer why Jesus is talking to the woman. It's what he can give her. Now, we're not told exactly in the passage when the woman believes or or how she comes to faith. The only thing we see here is at the end of this verse 27, it says the woman left her water jar in verse 28. She runs to the city, and what's the first thing she does? She says to the people, verse 29, come and see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Christ? She leaves her water jar and she runs to the city and brings others back. So whatever happens, she must have come to some place of believing that Jesus could give this to her. And later we see in verse 39, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. So she must have been giving some kind of testimony of belief. But as Jesus comes to this place, as he comes to this well and he speaks with the woman, somehow he reveals to the woman the need of her soul, and she leaves the water jar, she runs and she believes, and she brings others back to come to Christ. Now, there's an important detail, very important, in verse 30. They went out of the town. The people actually come. She invites them and they actually come, and they were coming to him. They're in the process of coming to him. In verse 31, meanwhile, as they are coming, at the same time as the people are coming out of the town, Jesus begins to teach his disciples. And look what he teaches them. The disciples are urging him to eat. He says, I have other food. The disciples still think he's talking about physical food in 33. And Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. He is talking about spiritual food, to accomplish his work. And then Jesus kind of is teaching them, do you not say that there is yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Don't you understand the harvest? You plant, you sow, and then there's a harvest. And then look what Jesus does. The end of verse 35. He says to the disciples, look, I tell you, lift up your eyes to the fields. From the well, lift up your eyes and look, the fields, here is the harvest. What is Jesus saying? It's really important. As the people are coming out of the town, Jesus is saying, look, these people that are coming are the harvest. And it's white, it's ready. Now, what does he mean by this? He says it in verse 36. Already the one who reaps is receiving the wages and gathering fruit for eternal life. It's not just attendance at church. It is eternal life. Already the woman has experienced this. She's already giving her testimony and calling others to come. And yet Jesus is teaching the disciples, this is the spiritual food of a true disciple of Jesus. To see the harvest. And to have a spiritual hunger for more than just what I receive, but it's to go and tell and share the gospel. Look at verse 37. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap. See, Jesus is teaching the disciples at the same time as he is offering eternal life. He intentionally includes the disciples in this same work that the Father has given him to do. What a powerful statement. And then he says at the end of verse 38, others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Who are the others that have labored? Could it be the prophets in the Old Testament? Could it be that God was working all along to bring these people to this place? They studied the Torah and the Old Testament. Well, in this passage, there are two witnesses. And you see it in the very next verses. In verse 39, many Samaritans from the town believed in him. Why? Because of the woman's testimony. In verse 39, it's the woman's witness. She has already labored, and they are now entering in the labor. They're seeing the harvest because the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And They met Jesus and they asked him to stay, and then he stays there 2 days. And then verse 41, what is the second witness? Many more believe because of his words. And then the two witnesses are repeated again in verse 42. They said to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said, the woman's witness, that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves. Who did they hear? They heard Jesus' words, Jesus' witness. And we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. If you are a disciple of Jesus, then he is calling you, like Jesus, to hunger and to thirst for the very thing that he hungers and thirsts for. To give eternal life by bringing others. The woman's witness has two powerful principles of sowing. Look what it says. First of all, she just at the end of verse 28, beginning of verse 29, she says, come and see. She simply brings people to Jesus. She even asks the question, could this be the Christ? It is honest inquiry. It's not just arguments. She's not just presenting the perfect reason to believe. She says, come to Jesus, come and see. I'll tell you what I know of him. He told me everything about myself. And the irony is that Jesus did tell her everything, but she is now telling others what she knows of Jesus. Look what God has shown me. Look what God has done in my life. If you and I are true disciples of Jesus, we've lifted that cup to our lips and we've tasted the drink that is not provided by ourselves of sand, but is living water. New life in our souls that satisfies beyond this world. Those who are facing terminal illness and their days are numbered and their soul has that drink of eternal life satisfied. But the world cannot give. Then we have a message. And we have an invitation. Not just arguments, but come to Jesus. I'll tell you what he did for me. He gave me a drink that satisfied. But it's all about who Jesus is. Do you see it? Could this be the Christ, the Messiah, the one we looked for, the Savior, the one who would redeem us? The very first principle is we simply bring people to Jesus. We share our testimony. We tell them what God has done for us. But we don't just bring them to church. We bring them to Christ so that he can do for them what we cannot and what they cannot. The second principle is we let them hear God's word for themselves. Do you see it? They themselves have honest inquiry. They themselves are inviting Jesus. They ask Jesus to stay with them. And they're in process. And sometimes we are so forceful that we don't allow people to discover the truth for themselves. We do need to bring them to Christ and share the testimony, the witness, the laboring that we are called to do. But as their hearts are open and as they invite Jesus to come and they have this same honest inquiry over these 2 days. And what is the result in verse 41? And many more believed because of his words. And the result of their testimony is amazing, isn't it? We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is, sounds a lot like certainty, indeed, the Savior of the world. Now, if we had time, we could go back into all the background study of salvation comes from the Jews, the very words that Jesus said back in verse 22. And the Samaritans who were marginalized, they wouldn't even return. And all of a sudden, these people understand that as Samaritans, They are included in the saving work of Jesus for all in the world who are saved. Will only be saved through Jesus. There is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He is the only one who gives us living water, a drink for our soul. When we bring these two passages together, there's two very simple ideas, isn't it? It ends in these verses that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Do you know it? Do you know it personally? There are those who are still thirsty. Like the woman at the well, Jesus says, if you knew who it was and what is the gift of God, then you would ask and you would receive more abundance. Come. To you, I say, come. That's what communion is. That's what this table is. It is open for all who will believe. Whoever received, to them he gave the right to become children of God. That's in the same gospel, in John chapter 1, verse 12. If only you knew who it was. If only you knew the gift of God that you could have. Your cisterns are broken. It is not satisfying water. I say to you, come and see. And to those who know this, Jesus would have you understand his teaching as a disciple. Go and tell. Isn't it wonderful? Come and see and experience and drink. And then be driven by a spiritual hunger to do the will of God like Jesus. I have food that you know not of. And for this we will pray. That God will do this in our hearts as his disciples. So will you pray? Let's join our hearts. For some of us, Lord, we have tasted and we've seen that the Lord is good. We have come and you've given us a drink for our soul many years ago, maybe even as a teenager, a child, a young adult. For others, we've come later in life. But we have seen and we have accepted this gift of forgiveness, eternal life that you give that we will share in communion in only a moment. And we are satisfied. For others, we invite, by the kindness of your Spirit, would you call to come and see. And we will be patient. We will tell all that Jesus has done for us. But we want them to know for themselves, to hear for themselves, and believe by the work of your Holy Spirit. But Father, would you produce in us as your church, as your people, as your disciples, a hunger for something more. Something more than just the attitude that says, I go to church for what I get out of it. It's, I am part of this. So God, would you do this? For some to come and see, for others to go and tell, to do the will of our Father, and to taste of this spiritual food that gives us the greatest joy of our Father's pleasure. And so we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.